Wow. Merry Christmas. You guys are awesome. I just want to say that I'm partial, I know, but I just think our kids are just precious here at Sunridge. And we consider it a trust that you've given to us in our children's ministry for you to allow us to spend a few moments with them every weekend. And I just want to say a huge thanks to Nancy Smith. Nancy, this way. Because she has brought the musical Christmas joy to Sunridge. And thank you so much, Nancy. My name's Britt. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you're visiting with us, we have a Christmas Eve service on Christmas Eve, in case you want to know, at 3 and 4:30. And we have a tradition here at Sunridge of putting together very traditional Christmas Eve services. You will miss out if you don't come. It's very family friendly. We have a children's moment in the middle of our service this year, again, to be led by our very own Aaron Weibel, who got a shout out already today. Does such a great job. And you know, it's a great place to bring your family, but also every year I remind all you single people, it's a great place to pick up on people too. This is an opportunity for you to ask for a date that doesn't seem like a date. And you know, guys, I know that you need just like that. We need a little hint, you know, not many of us just like go right in there cold turkey. And, you know, this is a safe invite. How would you like to come to a Christmas Eve service at my church? It gets you kind of like a general feel of whether they're open to spiritual matters. And, you know, they can see how all the families interact, and that kind of puts everybody in the mood. I'm just saying, it's an opportunity. Don't waste it if you're single. So we'd love to see you guys here. It's going to be awesome. I got to say, I love Christmas music. It sounds corny, I think, to some folks, but to me, it doesn't really matter what your favorite genre of music is. It's like every year at Christmas, you find yourself listening to these old singers and songs that you normally wouldn't have listened to. I mean, Bing Crosby is not normally in my iPod mix, and you know, there's a wide variety in there, but every year I just get hooked on Christmas music, and I don't know if it's that I'm already kind of predisposed to be in a great mood, you know, thinking about the Lord's birth and, you know, family and everything that kind of goes with this season, or the music puts me in a good mood. I know that this week I was painting at my daughter's house, and I was in a much better mood by listening to Christmas music. So, and I'm not typically in a good mood when I'm painting. What's your favorite all-time Christmas song? Think about it. Okay, I guess you could participate in the sermon now. Shout out your favorite Christmas song. I heard a lot of White Christmas. Okay, settle down. Did anybody think I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus by John Cougar Mellencamp? Okay, I listened to that just this morning, and that might become a new favorite. I don't know. Did you know that there's punk rock Christmas music? You may not know this. You know, there's Oi to the World, and there's another song called There Ain't No Sanity Clause. So, I don't know. In spite of that, in spite of everybody getting into Christmas music business, I still like the old favorites. And if you've been with our church for a while, you know that like this Christmas season, we're taking a carol each week as part of, you know, our sermon and finding like, you know, something new and fresh about Christ's birth that's found in that carol. And today we're going to do Joy to the World. And we sang that earlier. Joy to the World is one of my favorite all-time Christmas songs. I love the lyrics. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. I never understood a single word he said, but he always had some mighty fine wine. That's, wrong Joy to the World. Three Dog Night. Actually, the real Joy to the World was first published in 1719 by Isaac Watts, who also wrote When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. So it has a great kind of pedigree in that sense. And the lyrics to Joy to the World echo the words of the angel who announces Christ's birth to the shepherds found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." You might be really familiar with that passage. I want you to take a look at it closely and notice how there are words that modify words, sometimes called adjectives, for you grammar enthusiasts. And it kind of puts the message from the angel at a whole new level. In other words, the angel didn't say, "I bring you news of joy that will be for people." He puts more on it. It's more English on it. And I want to, like, just look at this simple announcement that the angel makes today in Luke 2. And I want to pull out what I think are three concepts that contribute to joy to the world. The first one is that he says that there it is good news. Did you see that? "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news." Not just news, but good news, which is to say there are different categories of news, right? There's just the news, which is, you know, this and that happened today. You know, El Nino is coming, maybe one day. You know, just so much news. And then there's also good news. It goes beyond just regular news, but it's good news, like baby panda is born at the zoo today, or Dunkin' Donuts is now open in Marietta. Then there's bad news. Things like there was a shooting today in name your city, or in Temecula, somebody stole the children's gifts from Mission of Hope, which is bad news. See, our perspective of the news is affected by who we are. Kind of, we're kind of pre-positioned to have the news fall into a category. And our perception of the news can, depending on who we are and how we think, can affect what category we put the news in. So for some of you, the fact that on December 15th, Dunkin' Donuts opened up in Marietta was just news. It's just so much other noise. For some of you who are more in tuned with the gifts that God brings, it was good news. Because if you're a donut aficionado, as I am, you know that Dunkin' Donuts is, to my knowledge, the only donut place that actually still makes the donuts with the white kind of sweet cream in the middle of them. I don't know if you knew that or not. Now you do. That is good news. And for some of us, this idea of the Dunkin' Donuts, it's bad news because you know that you're going to be buying new pants soon. You know, so at the time of Christ's birth, each of these categories or perspectives of the news is present. For some, Christ's birth was just so much news. This and that happened today. There was plenty of news at that time, even though they didn't have social media and the communication tools that we have. They had news too, and for some, it was just, they were kind of indifferent to the birth of Christ. To others, it was bad news. Matthew records that when King Herod heard about Christ's birth, he was disturbed, which is an understatement. He was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him, because Herod is threatened by the birth of Christ. And so the coming of this Messiah threatens his throne. Herod was supposedly a convert to Judaism, and he was given the authority over that region as a Roman representative in government, and he ruled with an iron fist. And he's also known as Herod the Great, and anybody who threatened his greatness was executed, which included many rabbis, his wife, and you know, if you're familiar with the Christmas story, that because he could not find the baby Jesus, he had all children under a certain age executed because he was concerned that there was a new king being heralded. But for those who looked for Jesus' coming, his birth is good news. And you know, these perceptions of Christ's birth, they persist today. In this group of people today, for some of us, Christ's birth is just, you know, something, it's part of the news. Doesn't really stand out. You're indifferent to that. That, I mean, that's not a condemnation. It's just I'm stating the facts. For some, it's bad news, and for others, it's good news. In the Christian community and how we talk about Christ's birth, we find the same categories. In some corners of Christianity, Christ's birth has become just part of the news, that the prominence of Christ's birth is not, it's not forward, it's kind of in the back, and it's more important to us to maintain our traditions or our theology or our music preference. And so Christ's birth is really just a minor part of the story in maintaining kind of the beliefs that I already have. For others that herald Christ's birth from the Christian community, it's bad news. It's Jesus is here. He's coming. And boy, is he ticked. And you're in big trouble. And you are out. Bad news. And yet, I think the most accurate perspective is captured by the herald angel here, who calls it good news. Actually, these two words, good and news, are one word in the original language, euangelizo. And it's sometimes translated good news, and sometimes it is translated gospel. They're interchangeable. This word, euangelizo, the good news, describes the work of Christ. In Matthew 9, Matthew records that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom. This is what Jesus did. I mean, this is what he's mainly known for. This is kind of the core of his activity, was to bring the good news. It is also, by his own words, why he came. In Luke 4, 43, Jesus says, I must preach the good news, the euangelizo, of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. Jesus says the reason for my existence here on planet Earth was so that I could bring the good news. And it epitomizes who Jesus was. Mark writes in Mark 1:1, he says, the beginning of the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. It starts there. He is the epitomization. Is that a word? No? Yes, whatever. I just made it up. Now it's a word. Never play me in those Scrabble games or... The good news, the gospel, interchangeable, is why Christ came. What is your perception of the good news? Is it just kind of the news? Has it become bad news to you? Or is it good news? Depending on your category, I think I might be able to help you as we proceed here. Continuing in Luke 2, we see that not only does the angel say of Christ's birth that it is good news, he says it brings great joy. Great joy. some people overuse adjectives, right? Remember when totally was in? Totally to the max? Like as if totally wasn't enough or max wasn't enough. You had to be totally to the max, mom. Like you can just overuse adjectives. And yet here's what the angel is actually saying. First of all, he's using kind of like a high level word for joy. This is like a lot of joy, exceeding joy. And then he puts in front of it this great, which is the word that we get mega from. So he is saying this good news brings mega exceeding joy. Now, either he's overusing his adjectives or he's on to something. When I think about great joy during this time of year, I think that, you know, most of us fall into two categories broadly. Like some of us, you're right there. Your heart is filled with joy this year. At this Christmas time, either your family is together, something is all in alignment, you have a great trip planned, you know what you're getting for Christmas and you're stoked about it. But some of us fall in a category where it's hard to connect to this idea of joy, because the things that we traditionally think of as joyful in this country, in California, in Southern California, in the Temecula Valley, we all have our list of things that we think bring us joy, and some of those are missing for you. And so it doesn't feel like great joy. Can I just point out or ask the question, where does great joy come from? Because remember in the angel's announcement here, people's circumstances didn't really change. When he says great joy, speaking of Christ's birth, very little changed for Mary and Joseph. For others, they're still an oppressed people. Herod the not so great will seek the life of their child and others. They're still inconvenienced. There's still no room for them in the inn. And life just pretty much goes on. And yet, the angel says there's great joy. You see, what we believe about joy, what it is and where it comes from, affects everything in our lives. It affects the choices that we make, the jobs that we pursue, the way we interact in our family, the way we treat other people. It affects our values, our core values. What we believe about joy affects everything. And if we happen to get off track, or maybe we've never been on track, the joy that the angel talks about seems to be unattainable for us. I think that we are wired to find joy not in the gifts, but the gift giver. Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote that he, speaking of God, has set eternity in the hearts of men. And the way I read that is that there's like this shape inside every human being, inside their heart, that only God can fill. God has placed this thing that Solomon calls eternity in our hearts. We know that there's something more, there's something bigger, there's something that is more significant than the things that I can always touch and feel. The reason for great joy, the angel says, is found in verse 11. He says, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And so the angel is saying, can I state the obvious, that joy is found in the presence of Christ. We sing about this in Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy is found in Christ's presence, not in our circumstances. Matthew writes, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And Matthew takes the extra step of interpreting that for us, which means God with us. I would propose that the great joy that is found in Christ's birth is the tangible, for the first time, presence of God. I don't understand that. I can't wrap my brain around that completely. And if you can, please educate me after the service. But this is the embodiment of God so that human beings could experience and actually touch and feel what God would be like if he were a human being, which he was. And so in our humanity, it helps us understand who this God is. And I believe understand more deeply what it means to have Christ present, God with us. I don't know what your Christmas looks like. I don't know what your experiences have been. I don't know what this season has brought you. But there can be great joy in the middle of trials, in the middle of less than perfect, because we have Emmanuel, God with us. Now, that still may not be good news to some of us. It might be scary news. And so that's what I love about how the angel wraps this sentence up. It's good news of great joy for who? For all the people. There's like a crescendo of joy to the world going on here. I have good news. It's of great joy, and it's not limited. It is for all the people. And on this day, in this moment, everything changed for everybody. I think that we put people into categories, especially when we think about religion. We have some of us who struggle personally with the acceptance of God. And you cannot imagine that this good news of great joy is for you. And then there are others who struggle not with good news of great joy for you, but your struggle is more that maybe it's not great news for it. Make your list. Some of us struggle with acceptance of God ourselves, and some of us struggle with God accepting others. If you're a note taker, I don't know, we're not, a lot of us don't take notes. But if you are, I would just draw a circle on your page right now. And that circle represents who God favors. So let me ask you, is it easy to put your name inside that circle? Or do you struggle with it? Or maybe you can put your name inside the circle, but there's a Rolodex of names that can't go in a circle. You might actually have names. Could be your ex. Could be someone that hurt you or brought pain to someone that you love. It could be an ethnic group or some other religion. That it's hard for us to put them in our circle. The angel said that it's good news of great joy for all the people. All the people. That means that if you're sitting here today and you think that your sins are insurmountable or your behaviors in the past or the decisions that you've made or the people that you've hurt or the things that you've done and that excludes you from the circle, you're wrong. Because because the angel announced it as good news of great joy for all the people. And if you have kind of like I would call it a moral self-righteousness that makes you think that you belong in the circle, but there are others that no way could they ever get in the circle, you're wrong too. It's good news of great joy for all the people. I love some of the stories that Jesus told. In fact, I think in the fall we're going to do a series called The Stories Jesus Told. But there's one particular story that I think applies here. It's found in Luke's Gospel in chapter 14. And basically the background is that there's this man, he's going to throw this big party, and he's invited many guests. Maybe it's an ugly sweater party, which is going on, right? And I find it hilarious on one hand. On the other hand, I find it a little depressing that people are partying, wearing sweaters that 25 years ago I was buying, thinking they looked really good, but so be it. So he's throwing this great party. There are many guests invited, and the no-shows start appearing, you know, like a wedding. I have three daughters, they're all married, I've put on three weddings. You wait and wait for the RSVPs, and some people never send them and show up. Some people send them and don't show up. Some people send them and put names on them that weren't invited, I'm just saying. And all the while I'm thinking, that is $100 piece of chicken is gonna be on that plate. You either come or don't come, and don't, anyway. That's not part of the sermon. I digress. So people start having excuses about why they can't come to the party. And he says that the first one says, well, I've bought a field. I've bought some real estate, and I have to go look at it. Now, can I just point out how ridiculous that is as an excuse? You purchase it without going to look at it? Just saying. And then the second excuse was, I bought some oxen and now I got to go test run them. Again, another kind of lame excuse. The only good excuse is the last one. He says, I was just married and I can't come. Now, I understand that one. And so as Jesus tells a story, with all of these excuses coming in of those that were invited, he says, then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Go get the people that would never be invited to my party. These people are outcasts. They have to remain outside the city and live off the dump. And I want them at my party. And the servant says, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. And so then the master told his servant, go out into the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. Does that sound to you like Jesus has a pre-qual for getting invited to the party? It doesn't, does it? In the story, he's expressing how the kingdom of God works, and he's saying there are people that are invited. Some of them choose not to come, so we go after more. And then not all of them are, there's still room, so let's go out and compel people to come in. There is good news of great joy that will be for all the people, joy to the world. The Lord has come. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For all the people. That's what makes it joyful to the world. Let's pray. God, when we stop to think about the reality that you came, that you humbled yourself to be an infant and grow to be a man, who lived his life to invite others in, which includes us, and those, honestly, God, that we would like to exclude, it brings great joy. We thank you, God, and we pray that wherever we are on the news spectrum and our understanding of it, that you would meet us there, and that we would see, as the angel announced, that you have good news of great joy that shall be for all the people, because you're with us. In Jesus' name, amen.